Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
We have 7 speakers.
During the August 2024 primary, D1 rallied around a somewhat unknown candidate. In an absolute surprise to the entire local establishment, Steve Stroberger soundly routed the developer-sponsored two-term incumbent, Jeff Bragosh. This was not an accident. We're asking you once again to consider the requests and pleas of an entire community. Beulah has never demanded there be either or, no residential, no light industrial, or no retail development on OLF 8. Time and again, over many years, our community has participated in seminars, meetings, charrettes, surveys, town halls, etc., and voiced our desire for a livable, walkable town center atmosphere that we have been deprived of as we watch our area being overbuilt, overdeveloped, and crushed by the weight of thousands of new citizens and little infrastructure improvement to support that influx.
So, yeah, the sort of never-ending, ongoing saga of OLF 8, the flying, polka-dotted unicorn, imaginary unicorn of economic development in Escambia County. And, by the way, you know, you might say, well, that's a little bit harsh. but no, credit to Mike Kohler for continually putting that on the agenda and making sure that we're always talking about it, because he doesn't want to, you know, let it go for, he wants to get a deal done. And the other commissioners allegedly do as well. And some of them really do. But you know, will we, won't we, I don't know. John Moore, speaking about the revolution that took place in District 1 last summer in the primary. And then of course, basically asking the rest of the county commissioners, hey, this is a District 1 project, even though it affects the entire county. Could you please defer to our guy? We elected him for this.
I humbly ask that during tonight's discussions, this board take heed of the mandate given to our commissioner and show due deference to him and to his district as he tries to represent his constituency. I've heard many of you ask the same of others.
Yeah, and that's the deference to the in-district commissioner is one of those things in Escambia County that I would say it happens when it's convenient and it doesn't happen when it's not convenient. Like, people brag about deferring when they want to, and then when they don't want to, they don't do it. This has a long history of, you know, everything from the closure of Rawson Lane with District 3 Commissioner Lumen May. I know he would amen me that, you know, for that one. Although I think that was actually District 4, it's right on the border. I have to remember where the district line is. It was always, he said it affected his people, but it didn't fall within his district. It's kind of a weird line there. But you pick it. There's lots of examples of this where, you know, oh, sure, we'll defer to you until, well, there's a disagreement, and then all of a sudden it doesn't matter as much. You had the conversation by the different partners. Remember, this is, if you're unfamiliar with the history here, and, there's a long history, and for those of you who are, I apologize for retreading some of it, but you've had offer and offer and offer, and you've had efforts to get a developer for this big field over next to Navy Federal on 9 Mile. And for a while there, it looked like it was maybe going to be a group called Tri-W with just Chad Henderson's group with Ashton Hayward involved. Maybe it was going to be Beulah Town Center with Fred Hemmer and Metro involved. And it looked like it wasn't going to be them because the three votes who controlled the board for a long time didn't want it to be Fred Hemmer. And then, you know, the election changed everything, and now Steve Stroberger kind of wanted it to be Beulah Town Center. The board dilly-dallied around, and they made the Chad Henderson Tri-W group storm out. Then they dilly-dallied around, and they made the Beulah Town Center group storm out. Then you kind of wonder, well, who's left now? And then you had another group in there that Beulah Ranch, and they kind of seems to have faded out due to funding issues. Ryan Bell says, I'm out. He had come back with a $50 million offer, and then we learned in the meeting on Thursday.
The last meeting, we had Mr. Bell come up and say, I'm going to give you $50 million, and then he didn't have financers. So, I mean, I don't want to waste the board's time.
How do we know he didn't have financers? How do we know he's any different than anybody else?
I asked him to put him on the agenda at the last meeting. I asked Wes, and he didn't have finances that could help him. Is what I was told.
I mean, did the other two parties have financing?
He told me that he was left high and dry by his partners. So. And he didn't want to be on.
I'm just being.
That's rough. Because I like Ryan. He was always the sort of third option. You know, what if the top two options go away? He's your option. Well, all of a sudden, he doesn't have any money, apparently. And so we're back to, well, okay, so Beulah Town Center is back. And Tri-W is back. And they're going to storm out and they're going to come back. And feels like Trump is at more levels than just the federal government. Anyway, so Chad Horn from Beulah Town Center says, I'm building stuff in this county that's huge. Trust me, I know how to do this. And then, you know, look here.
Initially came to Pensacola and Escambia County 15 years ago. I've invested millions of dollars here, including a community that'll break down and that will break ground soon in Cantonment that will be called Woodland Park. That's roughly three times the size of OLFA. My partner, Metro Development, is the largest builder of master planned mixed-use communities in the southeastern U.S. and one of the largest in the U.S.
And as has been said many times before, we know what we're doing. We're passionate about this project. Meanwhile, Bill Mitchum, which is with the other group, Tri-W, the Chad Henderson Group.
Typically in a real estate transaction, certainly in the private world, you negotiate with the party before you have your final agreement. Typically, you have an exclusivity arrangement while you negotiate with those folks. We were negotiating in good faith, and we thought that we were going to get some response back and have an opportunity to look at that. We have not gotten that back as of yet.
So there's a little bit of irony in this to me, in that he's complaining that they thought they were working with the county on this and they haven't received the red line back, which is the like edited version of the document with the changes that need to be made for the other side to be happy, and you kind of go back and forth on these things. But that exact same thing had happened to his competitor, Beulah Town Center, where they had thought they were in a position to get a red line back and get some time. And then they were denied that by the board and kind of never got that red line. This came up later in the meeting where Allison Rogers said they had gotten it, but I think she's talking about a previous response, not about this one, because Beulah Town Center has been in this game for years now. They've been trying to get the board to go along with them, and they've had no success. But then we have an election. So Steve Stroberger is now the county commissioner for District 1, his area, although it borders on District 5, but it's District 1 is the primary area.
I think you know how I feel. I think you know I've done my due diligence on this. Citizens trust me, and I'm asking my colleagues to trust me, too, on this.
Please come with me on this. Let's pick Beulah Town Center. Let's go.
I talked to a Santa Rosa County official earlier this week, and he or she told me that they are begging for this same group, Metro, to come to Santa Rosa to develop.
Meaning we should consider ourselves lucky that we have Metro as a partner with Beulah Town Center. Please just say yes. They are the ones we want. And the he or she, it's kind of funny. I assume it's Shannon Ogletree from Santa Rosa County, but he doesn't want to make it seem like it's obviously Shannon Ogletree from Santa Rosa County. So he says he or she. Now, I suppose it could be a she, and it could be somebody besides Shannon. Shannon, who is a he with a she name, but still, you know, I'm assuming that that's who he meant. It could be. I suppose a lot of different people, theoretically. The leadership level in both counties is really heavily male-oriented, so it's probably not a female. But it doesn't really matter. The point is, Santa Rosa County, doing all the economic development they're doing, is making this work, and if they can attract Metro, Beulah Town Center's partners, to work in their county, maybe they're not going to still be interested in working in OLF 8, the imaginary flying unicorn of economic development.
I don't know if they go to Santa Rosa next, if they can even help us with OLF 8, but I'm begging that I'm ready to make a motion. But I'll let everyone have discussion first. But you guys know how I feel about this.
So he's ready to go, which is no surprise to me. He wants Beulah Town Center, Fred Hemmer's group, and he's ready to do it. Allison Rogers says, whoa, 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 whoa.
I don't like that we have a group that we told we were going to send a red line back, and we haven't had the opportunity to do that because we did tell them we would do that. So
we haven't sent a red line back to either of these groups, right?
No, we did to.
We have previously sent red lines back to the Beulah Town Center, not over last night's proposal. That is true.
Yeah, it's the previous proposal that's really relevant here. She's the county attorney, so I think there was a bit of a playing with the terms on that particular explanation. But no, she's, you know, I'm actually of the opinion that what they ought to do is give everybody a red line. If anybody puts in a proposal, give them a red line, which seemed like that was the guidance last time, is anybody who's serious, we're going to take you seriously, and we're going to give you back our answer from the county's perspective.
I'm ready to make a motion. I'm going to make a motion right now. I move that we have the county staff evaluate both PSAs from both Tri-W and Beulah Town Center, and that we take both offers side. That means taking both offers side by side and give this board some feedback.
Yeah, I mean, it's almost like what we've got is two bidders in a project. Let's look at both of their proposals since we're really close to maybe being at a finish line. Of course, we could be a long way from the finish line, as Stephen Berry often reminds us. You can get this far with somebody and then you don't actually get to a deal. But we seem like we're right there. We seem like either one could be good. They're both interested again. They've both, you know, returned from their storm out. So, which their storm out in each case was justified. I'm not blaming them. The county commission sort of, you know, was a bad fifth date. So, you know, here we are. But look, they're both back. They're both serious. They're both capable and qualified. Let's look at both of them and see what happens, which is exactly what Steve Stroberger is proposing.
Additionally, I think that we should have purchasing assess the developing partners, because I think they're starkly different. One does really good strip malls. The other one has been doing grand plan communities for a very, very long time. And I think that once they do that, once they take a look at that, they're going to see the difference between the two and which one we should have. The difference, I'm telling you, it's significant. There's a significant difference between both of these developers.
I don't think summarizing Chad's experience into strip malls is an appropriate summarization of his experience.
Yeah, and Steve, that's not, I mean, staff's not going to make this decision for us. This is going to be us. And
they're not going to make the decision. They're just going to give us some feedback. That's all they
want
to do.
I don't think they're equipped to give that feedback. It's simply going to come down to us making a decision.
The staff's not equipped to give that feedback? Yeah. That's Stephen Berry, Ashley Hoffberger before that, objecting to the way Steve Stroberger was describing the experience of Chad Henderson and his development partners and the Tri-W group, as opposed to Metro. I think if Steve would have just said, hey, let's send these two groups there, their red lines back, and let's see what we get, instead of getting into the question of asking the planning department to evaluate the strength of the partners of the proposals, he probably would have gotten a yes at that point. Because clicking ahead to the end here, he's going to get a yes in the end to that basic idea. Stephen Berry expresses a fear that seems to be coming. It's oddly becoming more and more of a theme for him in these meetings.
And that was what I was mentioning, you know, either last meeting or a couple of meetings ago or whatever, about just the fear of entering into a contract that has such bad terms that we end up, the butt of the jokes as far as, you know, 3 years from now, nothing's happened and we can't force our counterparty to close. That's not ideal.
Now, he's repeatedly mentioned this, the idea that if you get a deal, but the deal doesn't require real commitment and doesn't give the county the ability to force the developer to do what they're supposed to do, you could be a year, two, three, 4 years into this, and you've got, in air quotes, a deal that nobody's acting on and no recourse either to get out of or make them fish or cut bait. You know, like, you can't get it done. And then they'd be ridiculed for having entered into a stupid deal. And he's repeatedly warned about that. I just think it's fascinating that he's out loud repeatedly said how afraid he is of being perceived as ineffective or failing on this score. Actually, kind of that same thing came up again when a little bit later in the meeting he was talking about how, you know, we keep having this on the agenda and we keep having these conversations and it keeps taking a lot of time, which is true. And he says, I don't know that we need to keep having this on the agenda.
If we're going to send red lines back to these two folks, great. And then we'll see what we get back from them. And, you know, Wes and Allison interact with each of us, I presume, on a regular basis. And, you know, hopefully there's something that comes from those discussions that's worth bringing back to the board. I wouldn't put it on there as a standing item. I mean, we don't have to discuss failures regularly. If it just fails, it fails.
I actually admire the board for failing so publicly again and again? Just because that means that they're going to keep it in the spotlight and get it done eventually. Stephen Barry seems to be saying that it'd be fine if we just keep failing in private and nobody has to know about it. Which kind of reminded me of, you remember the write-off issue with the EMS where the bad debt and they can't collect it because people call EMS for all kinds of reasons and shouldn't be and they can't pay. And then, you know, we have these millions of dollars of write-off of uncollectible debt. And he, at the last time this came up, which I've always said, look, that's not your fault. That's just a business practice. No big deal. But people freak out over $10 million and $6 million and whatever, you know, looks like a big number we're losing. And he says, you know, we don't need to have this in public. We have to vote on this every time. We can just kind of let it be an accounting thing. You know, so he's very concerned about public perception of him, which is a politician's job. I mean, if you're going to get reelected, you know, people have to believe you're doing a good job. And, you know, he has been reelected for now a fourth term in Escambia County, just like Lumen May. Anyway, they voted to do yes, the red line. They're going to give them both a response. And so I think in the end, though, there was a little drama in getting there. This is actually the place we should be. The two viable, fairly competitive, super, at least mostly or super qualified, you know, depending on your view. Both teams are qualified. Both would do a good work. It's just a question which one is the best bet. And, of course, for what? For price tag, for jobs, for community development, you know, and who's going to really put the money in and get the job done? Those are the questions. And we'll see. They've got about a month before they come back, and so we'll see it in the April meeting. 526 on News Radio. So generally, though I know my tone doesn't maybe convey it, good news. Good news in the meeting. I think good news. 526 News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay.
If you're living with dry age-related macular degeneration or dry AMD, you may be at risk for developing geographic atrophy or GA. GA can be unpredictable and progress rapidly, leading to irreversible vision loss. Now there's something you can do to
slow it down and get it going slower.
Eyezervay is proven to slow GA progression.
Eyezervay.
Eyezervay or Avastin Captid Pagel is a prescription eye injection used to treat GA. Don't take it if you have an infection or active swelling in or around your eye. Eyezervay can cause eye infection, retinal detachment, or increased risk of wet AMD. Eyezervay may temporarily increase eye pressure. Your vision may be impaired after an eye injection or exam. Don't delay. Ask your doctor about Eyezervay today.
Eyezervay gets GA going slower.
Visit iZervay.com. That's iZervay.com.
Did you know that with Pensacola Habitat for Humanity, home buyers can choose their location, floor plans, and even certain home features? It's true. With an affordable mortgage, you can build the home of your dreams, tailored to your needs and preferences, all depending on availability and qualifications. Don't wait. Start your journey to home ownership with Pensacola Habitat for Humanity today. Visit PensacolaHabitat.org to learn more and apply today.
Hey, Escambia. Today, ECUA is talking trash.
Specifically, bulk waste.
July 1st, 2023, bulk service changed to call for pickup. Schedule a pickup by calling the ECUA customer service department anytime before 2 p.m. on the day prior to your normal pickup day. Bulk pickup is still included at no additional charge. Schedule a free bulk waste or special pickup for construction debris for an additional fee. Call customer service at 850-476-0480. More information at ecua.fl.gov.
Know what to throw, 850.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, Pep Talk. Mornings at 9, right after Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
1187 at Hunter Varsity.
That's the hotel.
What?
Where I live.
Nice place?
Yeah, sure, I guess. Is that part of the test?
No. Just warming up, that's all.
Tell you about my mother. 529 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Ah, I love Blade Runner. It's such a great movie. Every little part of it. David, it's a top three movie for me for all time. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, Ukraine appears to have carried out one of its largest drone attacks to date against Russia. Russian officials say over 90 drones were used to target Moscow in a massive attack that led to the suspension of train service there, as well as flights at four airports. House Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries says he's expecting Democrats to vote against the spending bill proposed by Republicans. Jeffries says that bill wouldn't do anything to protect Social Security, Medicare, or Medicaid. Republicans are expected to bring that to the House floor today. Of course, without a new spending bill, the federal government would shut down on Friday. And Pope Francis apparently showing some good progress. He's still receiving treatment for severe respiratory issues. Doctors say they've lifted their guarded prognosis, though.
I'm gonna say it early, okay? In the past, the shutdown hokey pokey has always produced a deal and nobody cared in the end, okay? So I'll stop paying attention. I just don't think that you can threaten Elon Musk and Donald Trump with a government shutdown and they're gonna be like, oh no, how awful!
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. Secretary of State Marco Rubio is leading the U.S. delegation at today's talks with Ukrainian officials about ending war with Russia. Hours earlier, Ukraine's military launched its largest ever drone attack on Russia's capital, Moscow.
Russian authorities say 74 drones bound for the capital of Moscow were shot down, but the debris damaged seven apartments in a residential building, causing injury and death.
Fox's Jonathan Savage, at least two deaths are reported. The deportation of a Palestinian activist who led protests at Columbia University is blocked by a federal judge in New York for now. Mahmoud Khalil has legal residency in the U.S.
The president touted Khalil's arrest, alleging that people who head up protests like the ones over Columbia last year were engaging in pro-terrorist, anti-Semitic, anti-American activity. And the Trump administration will not tolerate it.
Fox's Kevin Cork. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531 at News Radio 92.3. It's 50 degrees. We've got clear skies this morning in Pensacola. A Pensacola woman is warning others after she says she was the victim of a targeted theft last week. It happened after she cashed a check at a local bank. After driving to her next destination and going inside a store, the woman's car was broken into. Her cash had been stolen.
It was so odd because they had been rather hidden. And, you know, I wasn't gone 10 minutes.
And that woman talked to Channel 3. She did want to remain anonymous. PPD's Mike Wood said she was likely the victim of a targeted theft. He says thieves will be inside of a bank watching for somebody to leave with a large amount of money. Then they follow you and try to steal it. Police say people should remain hypervigilant. Call 911 if they believe they are being followed. Well, the Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission hosting a virtual public meeting this week. They want to hear thoughts and comments about potential regulated black bear hunting across the state. The meeting has been scheduled for March 13th, this coming Thursday at 5 p.m. Century's interim mayor has addressed the recent theft of over $10,000. The Escambia Sheriff's Office is subpoenaing bank records. The town filed a report alleging nearly $11,000 from utility bill payments is missing, with several persons of interest identified in an investigation. A 16-year-old from Santa Rosa Beach died in an ATV crash in Walton County on Sunday. That happened on Eden Park Drive. The boy was off-roading and apparently collided with concrete debris. The ATV rolled and ended up on its passenger side. An e-cigarette company is changing its marketing practices after a state official announced a monumental settlement in the case. Florida Attorney General James Utmeyer said yesterday that Florida and Juul Labs had agreed to a $79 million settlement. The state sued Juul over its marketing practices, claiming that the company had targeted children. Under the terms of the settlement, Juul will no longer be able to use models under the age of 35 in their advertising. They also can't use brand names or cartoons. So $30 million from that settlement will be used to establish the Vape-Free Florida Fund. Utmeyer says that fund will aid in the enforcement of the state's nicotine and vapor laws. It is 5:34, News Radio 92.3. Right now we do have partly cloudy skies. It's 50 degrees in Pensacola, 51 in Gulf Breeze, and a little bit cooler. We've got 44 reported in Milton. Our next news is at 6 o'clock. We've got breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now.
Stocks tumbled yesterday after President Trump refused to rule out a recession for the U.S. economy this year because of his economic policies. The S&P 500 dropped 2.7%, the Dow dropped just over 2%, and the Nasdaq sank 4% in its worst session since 2022. Low-cost airliner Spirit Airlines is reintroducing flights from Arnold Palmer Regional Airport in Latrobe, Pennsylvania, to Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Flights to Fort Lauderdale will resume May 8th and be available 2 days per week, Thursdays and Sundays, through the summer. That's according to the Westmoreland County Airport Authority Executive Director Gabe Monzo. Hours after a series of outages that left X unavailable to thousands of users, Elon Musk claimed that the social media platform was being targeted in a massive cyber attack. Down Detector said more than 40,000 users reported outages. Futures are slightly higher. Monday, the Dow Industrials dropped 890, the Nasdaq down 727. That's your money now.
How many times has a paid-by-the-hour repairman come to your home to do repair? And seems to be working awfully slow? Ah! After all, the longer they work, the more you pay. And when they're finally done, you get the bill. It's dangerous to give a repairman a blank check because your bill could be much larger than expected. That's why Barberry Plumbing uses a flat rate pricing system. You'll know exactly to the penny what you'll pay before the work begins. No questions, no surprises, no high bills. You get Barberry Plumbing's team of radio dispatched uniformed professional service technicians. They can handle any plumbing repair or replacement job you need, including insulation and gas piping to your whole house generator. They are fully insured for both residential and commercial work. Call Barberry Plumbing at 477-8782 or look for Barberry Plumbing in the business white pages. Barberry Plumbing license number is RF11067749.
Hey Kevin, how's the boat running?
Well, you know, last week I started working on the water pump and now I can't remember how it goes back together.
Dude, stop. Call Key Marine. They'll get you and your Mercury outboard back in the water so we can go back to fishing again.
Key Marine gets the work done and lets you handle the fun. They'll fix any problem, big or small, even if the problem is you don't remember how the parts go back together. Key Marine, your Mercury outboard dealer on Bower Road in Pensacola.
You know what you want to do in retirement, but do you know how to get there? Tune in to What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair of Swan Capital, Saturdays at 1 to get answers to your retirement planning questions. Plan today so you can do all the things you've dreamt about doing in retirement. Don't miss What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair, Saturdays at 1. Firm offers insurance services, advisory services offered through Swan Capital, LLC.
News Radio Pensacola has you covered no matter where you are or how you like to listen. Tune into our frequencies on 92.3 FM, 95.3 FM, and AM 1620 for the latest breaking news, local updates, and in-depth analysis. Can't be near a radio? No problem. Stream us live on our website or through our convenient app. Available for download on your mobile device. Plus, with our smart device integration, you can ask your virtual assistant to play News Radio 92.3, and we'll be right there with you. It's News Radio Pensacola.
Good morning, 538 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Yesterday, as we do on a Monday, typically had a chance to talk with our good friend Sheriff Bob Johnson, Santa Rosa County Sheriff. Welcome back to the show, sir.
Hey, good morning, Andrew.
Good morning. So I think on Friday there was a man found in the Munson area deceased, but there's an investigation into the death. What do we know?
Yeah, we don't know a whole lot right now. He, of course, the medical examiner did an autopsy, and they haven't come to a conclusive cause of death yet. They're waiting on a tox screen to come back, and then we believe it may possibly be an overdose, but we're not sure.
Okay, and I see you're investigating the death, but you're also looking for a person in connection with that.
Yes, we are somebody that we think, and not necessarily just murder, but it could be something that as disposal of a body kind of thing is what we're looking at.
Okay.
Johnny
Drew Mobley, I think, is the name that you've got on your Facebook page anyway.
Mobley, yes, sir. Yep, Mobley, that's his name.
And by the way, just this is a teeny tiny small note, but I appreciate the fact that on your photo of him, you've got both the glasses on and glasses off version because, you know, it's hard enough to recognize a person, let alone they make changes, hair, glasses, facial, all that kind of stuff. So, you know, that's always, I think, I am actually amazed that anybody ever identifies perpetrators just because having gone through like the Escambia Citizens Police Academy or whatever, you know, they put us in a situation where the guys come in and rob the place with guns and make noise. And they're like, what can you tell us about them? It's hard to notice, right?
Yeah, they had a gun. They can always describe the gun.
Right.
That's what they focus on, but not the person so much.
And in fact, I know that's one of the things you all try to teach people is if you're ever in an incident, try to pay attention. It's going to be hard to do it, adrenaline pumping and everything else, but try to pay attention, right?
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, a lot of people, like I said, focus on the gun. But then every once in a while, we get lucky and it'll be the person that's in the situation will be military or ex-military or an ex-cop, and then you get a really good description. But, yeah, most people, general citizens, yep. They don't look at the perpetrator if they can help it.
I mean, I had other people that were in the class. They're like, there's a tattoo there. They're wearing this color shirt. And I'm like, sure. Maybe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There was and otherwise, everything's been fairly quiet, right, for about a week? I mean,
yeah,
no big,
yeah,
okay.
It has.
I did want to ask you, there was a case that came up, the Santa Rosa County Commission, a woman who was just clearly frustrated, lives on Kembro Road, and she basically says, look, my neighbor is playing loud music at all day long, you know, from like 8 to 3 or 9, like all day. It's just horrible. 80 decibels inside her house. It's supposed to be 70 at the property line. And she said, I'm going to play a little bit of her comments and I'm going to get you to react to this.
I wear noise-canceling earbuds inside of my brick home and I can still hear his music. We've reached out to law enforcement over the years 15 times. We have reached out to code enforcement 3 times. Now we are asking for help from our county commissioners.
And she's just so frustrated with how to deal with this. But it's challenging to enforce bad neighbor behavior, especially noise ordinance violations, right?
Noise ordinance in Santa Rosa County comes into play at 9 p.m. and then 6 a.m. So anything between there, we can enforce it. So if the county commissioners, you know, they can always pass an ordinance to make it a different time. I mean, and we could enforce it. So it's and yeah, if you have a neighbor that's a real, you know, jerk and wants to make your life terrible, there's things they can do that we can't, you know, do anything about, unfortunately.
I assume that your officers who are there to serve, protect, make quality of life better, I assume this is not an isolated case, that there are bad neighbor behaviors all over the county, and it's frustrating for the people involved, but it's frustrating for your deputies too because you want to help, right?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's what we're here for, and when we get to a citizen's house and they have a problem and we can't fix it, it's frustrating for us as well.
How many of the noise meters do you guys have? I know we ordered a bunch of them. I think the number they said is that you maybe had 2 across the sheriff's office.
Yeah, I think we have it's between 2 and 4.
Okay.
I think, yeah. So I think we have like 2 in the south end and maybe 2 up in the central area.
And you basically have to pull up, get out. If you had sirens, turn them off. Park at the property line and then wait. Right.
Right. Right. So. It's hard to enforce, and like I said, between those times, 9 and 6, that's the only time we can really enforce it. So if it's at 2 in the afternoon, there's not a whole lot we can do.
Yeah, I just you know, frustrating for everybody. You know, I'm sure. I know we're early in the legislative session. I mean, they're just starting. You know, last week, it seems like one of the big items that could potentially be of interest to you is the shifting away from having property taxes to something else. I mean, obviously, if we just got rid of property taxes, we don't have a sheriff's department anymore, right?
Correct. Most of my budget, and I think we're around $76 million or so, comes from ad valorem taxes. So you do away with property taxes, then you're going to do away with deputies, or you're going to have to find another way to fund it. So And I don't know how they would do that, but I'm sure they'd have to come up with some way. So you may stop paying property taxes, but you're going to pay somewhere else. So
we got to get $70 million somehow, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And, I mean, I'm suspicious that what they'll come up with, if they do recommend going away from property taxes, would be basically some kind of a local sales tax that would be the, you know, the supplement, the alternative. I mean, we're going to pay the money one way or the other. The only question is, you know, which mechanism do we use? I certainly don't envision a future where the Republican-dominated legislature and Governor's Manchin decide that they're going to vote away funding for law enforcement. Seems unlikely.
Yeah, not without a replacement, that's for sure.
Exactly. Sheriff Bob Johnson, always a pleasure, sir. Thank you for telling us what's going on, keeping us informed, and keeping us safe. We'll talk to you again next week.
All right. Thank you, Andrew.
That one looks good. I mean, I want to date that one, but I kind of want to marry the other one. Thanks. What was that? Oh, that is that David listening to me on some other element of the podcast? Okay. 5:45 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. We're all half asleep. It happens sometimes. We had fun yesterday. We had a good celebration lunch yesterday for the Marconi. So that was kind of nice, getting together and having some good food. So that's one of the things our bosses are always really great at, is they always, celebrate the things when we win. And it's always, I appreciate that. It's always fun. 437-1620, 437-1620. If you are thinking about that next vehicle or just, you know, maybe putting it off. And I always think about that because so much of life, we kind of wait too long on things. And then we put ourselves in a pickle because we've waited too long. Because we know the thing that we're going to have to do, we don't want to do it. I mean, that's natural human, is to avoid something that you don't want, to procrastinate the thing. Well, with cars, if you put it off until it's like a crisis, well, then it's a crisis. And when it's a crisis, you don't make good decisions. You feel stressed and pressured. And if you can separate the purchase from the crisis a little bit, that's good. So here's my recommendation. You know you're going to need a new car in the next, let's say, year. Okay? Go shopping now. You know, go to Frontier Motors now and look around and see what's out there in cars that are a year to 4 years old with, you know, 10 to maybe 40 or 50,000 miles. Good prices, cars that they're going to warranty to 10 years and 100,000 miles. And then look around and become familiar with what's out there. And at your pace, in an unstressed way, look at the prices and look at what's available and decide what you like the best. And, you know, look, I mean, maybe you discover something they've got that you really want and it's perfect and you buy it. Or maybe you just like, okay, well, now I know what I want when I'm really needing to get it in 5 or 6 months. But the point is, they have such a great selection of cars where you can really compare them all in one place. It's a very easy thing to do. But that's what Frontier Motors specializes in, is serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years, right behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
As a business owner, you've got a lot on your plate. Managing staff, growing your business, training new hires, and more. With so much going on, you need Avalon. As an IRS-certified PEO, Avalon HR can help. From running your payrolls, remitting state and federal taxes, workers' compensation insurance, employee benefits, and our HR expertise. Avalon HR can help you focus on your core business while we handle the rest. Employing made easy. AvalonHR.com.
Got a junk car lying around. Call the best junk man in this town. Frank buys junk cars. Frank buys junk cars. Got a car that's killing your grass. We'll call the junk car king for some quick cash. Frank buys junk cars.
850-525-2035. Frank buys junk cars.
News Radio 92.3 is proud to be a partner in the success of a lot of local businesses. We want your business to be part of this success story in 2025 with our unique platform to showcase your powerful message. Every day, News Radio's Pensacola Expert Panel provides an opportunity unlike any other. Hi, I'm Meg, host of the Pensacola Expert Panel. Let us help you share your message. Contact us to get you and your business part of the Pensacola Expert Panel. Call 850-262-6000.
When you listen to News Radio 92.3 on Saturdays, you get The Garden Line Encore at 9, At Home with Gary Sullivan at 10, Swan Capital at 1, Let's Go Pensacola at 4.
Isn't that special? A destructive EF2 tornado tearing through the Orlando, Florida area, leaving a path of rubble in its wake yesterday. The twister destroyed entire homes, ripping roofs off. That area is now littered with the debris, as you can see. Winds reached up to 115 miles an hour, flipping this tractor trailer on its side with a driver and a dog inside. Both are now safe. So far, no reports of any serious injuries or deaths. Residents and emergency crews are surveying the damage left behind from that fast-moving storm.
Yeah, holy smokes, man. Tornado in Orlando. And as you heard there, a couple of sort of notable events that flipped the tractor-trailer over, and that driver and the dog are okay. And then also, apparently, you have the local TV station, I think 35 was the one. They were doing their broadcast about the weather, and the tornado hit the station. Now, I don't know that it did a lot of damage to the station, but the guy who was on air, I have to watch his video, and I haven't had a chance to watch it, says, "I've been doing this for a very long time. That's the first time a tornado has hit me while I'm doing the weather." Thank goodness everybody's okay. Destroyed a house and did, a fair amount of damage. But, given how fast it was, not nearly as much as could have been, and, thank goodness nobody was killed or seriously hurt in it. That's the good news. 437-1620. It's my phone number if you ever want to weigh in on something. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Yes, right here, Andrew. Pope Francis apparently getting showing some good progress as he continues recovering in a hospital there in Rome. Doctors say they've lifted their guarded prognosis, which means he's no longer in danger from his current condition.
Great.
Elon Musk is... not having some very kind words about Arizona Senator Mark Kelly. He's calling him a traitor after he visited Ukraine. Kelly posted photos of his visit on X Sunday. Musk replied to the thread. Kelly is a former Navy pilot and astronaut. He responded to Musk saying, quote, "If you don't understand that defending freedom is a basic tenet of what makes America great and keeps us safe, maybe you should leave it to those of us who do." So a little bit of an X battle there, Twitter battle between those two.
Yeah, I mean, you can disagree with Mark Kelly over his politics, but rough sledding, I think, to call I believe he's a retired captain, I know he's not in active duty right now, but, retired versus just separated. But as a captain, I think he's retired anyway. Rough sledding to call him a traitor, I think.
Yeah,
so, yeah. Also from a guy who I don't think was ever in the military. Elon Musk. Okay.
Absolutely.
Go on, sir.
And three people have died after a medical helicopter crashed in rural Mississippi. This happened in Madison County. The sheriff's office says the chopper went down in a wooded area. So far, no word on what caused the crash. The FAA is investigating.
All right, David. Thanks so much for the update. 5:52 here on News Radio 92.3. One interesting note. John, are you a lotto ticket buyer? Do you buy the big lottery tickets at all? Never, rarely. Never. Yeah, okay. I mean, the only time I ever buy a lottery ticket, because to me, essentially,
I'm not giving you money.
I was taught how to do math, so I don't buy lottery tickets.
Right.
I mean, that's how that works. It's a tax on people
degree,
who are bad at math. Yeah, right, yeah. So it's kind of funny because certain people always complain about how the lower end of the economic spectrum usually pays too much taxes, they say. And to which I say, but then why do you like the lottery? Because it is almost entirely poor people who fund the lottery, or, lower end people and some others, but, that's where the money comes from. People who buy, cigarettes and booze and lottery tickets. I mean, anyway, so, I'm fine with you buying, booze. Don't buy cigarettes personally, but anyway, because that's also a terrible financial investment. But the lotto is going to now go up. It's $2, right? It's always been $2. It's been $2, God, since I was like in high school. I mean, it's been $2. And the only time I ever play the lottery is if there's like an office pool, if they're collecting $50 or, $2 a person or $5 a person. And my theory on that is purely self-defense, because if everybody hits and then they don't come to work.
Right.
I mean, that's it for my job. Like, I don't have a job and I didn't get any of the payout. So I have to play out of self-defense. Because if, we lose our 80% of our staff at the station, the station's done.
Right.
I can't come in and make it work all by myself. So we need salespeople and, you know, office staff and, you know, other on-air hosts and whatnot. Anyway, so they're raising the price apparently from $2 to $5. And at $5, that seems like a lot.
$5 the ticket?
$5 for the Mega Millions, yeah. They say the trade-off is that they're going to improve your odds of winning each jackpot, which I suppose by definition, because fewer people are going to buy tickets.
Well, yeah,
you know,
sure.
I mean, that makes sense. There might be, well, they say that their odds are going to go up in general. I'm not sure how they can make that happen. Anyway, you actually don't, your odds, your odds don't change based on how many people play because it's based on the numbers hitting.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not, that has no, that doesn't vary based on the number of people playing. That would, the size of the jackpot. Yeah, exactly. I'm not sure about this. Bigger jackpots more frequently and make them larger from the start. Well, I guess if they are more people are paying in. Each ticket will be worth more than the ticket price. So if you win, the minimum win will be $6. You can win a $6 on a $2. I don't know. That seems weird. But I just don't play the lottery, so I don't know. But anyway, so now everybody can be a millionaire or a billionaire if you're willing to fork it. $5 is a lot. But what is this? What is a pack of cigarettes? $5?
Oh, it's more than
that. $6? $8?
Yeah, I was getting gas the other day, and it was like $7-something. And I was like, who in the world?
So a carton, which is 10 20s, right?
I think
Am
so.
I right about that? And this, so as carton is $70?
I guess
I thought
so.
A carton was more in the $60 vicinity. But again, I
the
literally
reason why I noticed because I was paying for gas.
I walk right past the cigarettes every time in the grocery store, every time in the gas station. I wouldn't really have any idea. 5:56 on News Radio 92.3. What else do we have going on? Oh, the push to get Harriet Tubman back on the 20 instead of Andrew Jackson is back on, apparently. This is kind of a weird one because it had been on and it was going to happen, and then it kind of got derailed for a while. And Trump has been in a weird position on this because he sort of seemed in favor of it, but, you know, sort of seemed against it or sort of dry walked it. In 2016, he said that America, Harriet Tubman is one of several American heroes who represent what is best in America and her citizens. But he also said that the change in the currency was pure political correctness. And that it'd be more appropriate for Tubman to be placed on another form of currency like the 2 or, you know, the 1360. You know, let's make a bill that's worth $13.60.
Oh, okay, because I was like looking at you going, bro, I play Monopoly, and I was like, that's not one of the colors.
Can you imagine if this would not happen? But, you know, we got the 1, the 5. I mean, there are 2s with Jefferson, theoretically. I mean, they're out there. The 1, the 5, the 10, the 20, the 50, the 100, right, are the main denominations. It'd be hilarious if the Trump administration permitted a Harriet Tubman bill and it was like the $12.50.
Or $4.70 for 47.
Oh, I see what you did there. All right. You know, just, I mean, because let's be trouble, right?
Right.
So I money changes, postage stamps change if anybody buys them anymore. I just favor keeping things kind of where they're. One theory is to have her on one side and Jackson on the other side. And the descendants of Harriet Tubman are like, we do not want that. He is the polar opposite of what she stood for. She is a great American hero. I mean, she absolutely is. At the same time, changing money. I actually thought one of the things that long time ago I thought when they were talking about, God, what was it, the $1 bill, I think we were talking about redesigning. I have long thought that what we ought to do is educate people on our money. As in, use our money to educate people. Not that anybody uses money anymore. We may have missed the window on this. But, you know, print the 10 amendments on the back of the 1. Or print, you know,
10
2.
Commandments? Or
no, the first, the Bill of Rights.
14. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Put a couple on each bill and have a rotating stock of 3 or 4 selections. Like you have quarters are different, you know. Maybe use it, maybe the Declaration of Independence. I mean, you would only be able to put like 1 paragraph on there, but I mean, teach people about our system of government, 3 branches. I don't know. It seems like a missed opportunity to have purely decorative money when clearly civics and education about our Constitution is
what about the quarters? The quarters that had all the states on them.
Yeah,
you remember that?
Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah. And all the different things that came after that, but
right.
Yeah, too small, not enough for that. So I don't know. I don't see us doing Harriet Tubman, not under the Trump administration, particularly, especially with all the, you know, DEI, anti-DEI stuff. But that would be my theory, is instead of historical figures, let's add education to the backs and give people something to read in the rare chance that they're not Venmoing or credit card paying for the thing that they're buying. Listen.